Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my ever awesome, ever amazing, ever doesn't have a fantasy football league this year host, Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you tonight, my friend?
Well, that's not entirely true. It's just the league that I'm in is not going to be the same, but that's
right.
A totally different thing, and that's not magic totally different thing.
Okay, so you do have one league.
I have one league.
So I would have felt really bad if you had nothing. So.
Well, then I take it back. I have nothing. You have a spot in yours?
No, and I wish we did. Uh-huh. If we do, you'll be the guy I go to.
Oh, okay.
If we can't replace a certain manager of our trade area, then you know, you'll be the guy I call.
I'll be here.
But you know what? Let's get right into
Untap, Upkeep, and Draw.
Okay, so during our Untap, Upkeep, and Draw, we like to tell you guys what's coming tonight. Our show is hashtag not sponsored by anyone. So, but as always, the first thing we do when we untap is I untap. And again, it's my last summer ale. So after this, I will be going to some other beer. So,
well, isn't like
Hallelujah.
Doesn't Sam Adams have like some weird fall thing?
Oktoberfest, and we already saw it at Billy's. There's this really great beverage shop, hashtag not sponsored, in Amsterdam, called Billy something, or I don't know what the hell it's called. We call it Billy's, and there's lots of wonderful beverages there.
Oh, no,
and $7 for 50 pounds of ice. Like, that is unheard of. It's amazing. I love that.
$7 for your own glacier.
Dude, it was... Well, we needed it this weekend because... Hello, there's a cat. We needed it this weekend because we did the boys' thing.
Right.
Graduation party. So, all right, but let's get into Untap, Upkeep, and Draw. So what we're dealing with tonight... Well, we are going to be off the rails.
When are we ever on the rails?
All right, we're going to be going over, first of all, as you may know, on Tuesday or Wednesday of last week, Wizards released a roadmap for competitive play.
Finally.
We're going to go through that in depth. We're going to go through that. Our combat phase, if we need it, is going to be an interesting one. I'm not going to spoil it now, just in case. And our second main phase, which I suspect we'll need more than combat, we want to talk about the Dominaria event in Arena this week because it's really kind of fun. If you haven't played it yet, it's a standard base. It's basically standard without the piss me off cards. So we want to go over what we played. And we also have a follow-up email from Jamie. But there is time to get your emails in. So email us, podcast@plainstalkerspodcast.com.
Wait a second. Without the piss-me-off cards, but those are my favorite ones.
Yeah, I know. So you've been miserable probably for the last day.
Nope.
But, all right. But let's go ahead and get right into main phase.
Main phase.
Okay. Welcome to main phase. All righty. So, Aramis?
Yeah?
You are our rules aficionado.
Uh-huh.
You're basically the biggest nerd I know. So why don't you go ahead and you should lead this entire conversation.
Okay, so at some point last week, Wizards released a gigantic wall of text with some nice flowcharts. Well, I mean, I don't know how nice a flowchart can be, but this one's nice in the context because they finally, after months and months and months of basically the entire Magic community going, what the hell is going on with competitive play, they released their roadmap for competitive play. And as far as I'm concerned, it's awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
I think that, you know, when they changed over to the MPL and they did all this thing saying, oh, only this, you know, they're handing out contracts for streaming and all that stuff. Okay, fine. You know, we have some people to watch. And then, that, you know, this year has turned into just, you know, a flaming dumpster fire train wreck pileup on the freeway covered in, like, chocolate sauce and then lit on fire. Did I say fire twice? I think I did. Anyway.
You kind of did, but that's okay. You can have a flaming fire with a flaming fire.
Yes,
it's very possible.
Really,
so.
Really, really bad. I mean, there were some good moments, but, you know, the whole, you know, people quitting, people getting kicked out for stuff, people cheating and getting banned forever.
Which I don't think this whole thing's going to change. I mean,
no.
Peoples is peoples.
Peoples is peoples, but, you know.
They stupid, so.
Like, you know, like. Humans only have two eyes, and the MPL already has, like, five black eyes, so I don't know how they managed to do that. But anyway, they just came out with this huge, huge change. About
huge trucks of lime.
With a silent H and a big J at the end.
Okay. And do you like my background now?
Even better. Flaming dumpster
it's
fire.
It's a dumpster die. Dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire. I like it. So, yeah. They're changing competitive Magic. They're changing the way the MPL works. They're changing the way how you get into the MPL. They're kind of bringing back the Pro Tour, although it's not called the Pro Tour, it's called the Players Tour.
Which is like, it's like, more names to remember. Okay, they're basically saying, hey, we screwed up. A lot of this email just looked to me like it was them basically saying, yeah, we screwed up.
Yeah, so it was one of those things where they're like, all right, we're going to scrap the Pro Tour and make a bunch of Mythic Championships. How do you guys like it? Wait, why do you all have pitchforks? Why torches? Yeah. Okay, stop. We're sorry. We'll change
so
a lot of
does this mean? Does this mean the Magic Historian is finally going to shut the hell up?
Probably not.
Did I say that out loud? No, of course not.
Probably not.
That guy, I used to like that guy. The first time I saw his few videos, he was funny. And then all of a sudden, he turned into this, like, malcontent. And he's like, everything sucks. And I'm just like, dude, go play another game. Like, there's tons. Well, like, if you don't like Magic now, go play some Yu-Gi-Oh!
Luckily, this all looks like good news to me. I mean, I read the whole article.
Does.
I looked at the, like I said, flow charts that they had. And
you were, I saw those. I'm like, oh, Aramis has to be going nuts right now.
This, it
look
actually
at all
kind
the
of,
flow
well,
charts.
Here's the thing, going all through this past season, people are like, how do I qualify? Can I get into the MPL? Now they're saying, this is how you do it. This is how you can get to the World Championship in 2022, I think is the next one that follows this.
Okay, you know this is going to happen now, right?
What's going to happen?
You know what's going to happen now.
What's going to happen?
Yeah, something's going to happen. What did you just say? This is how what?
I don't know. What did I say?
you were telling something about how they do something.
Oh, how you qualify?
This is how you do it?
Oh, yeah, this is how you do it.
This is how we do it!
Oh, you were saving that one, weren't you?
Yeah, we are off, man. We are going off the rails tonight.
Rails,
you don't...
So yeah, so here's,
this is gonna end
here's the basic gist. They
they
broke it all down. Huge, massive wall of text, like I said. What they're saying now is there is a clear path to pro in the Magic Pro League. There's a Rivals League, which is what people were wondering what was going to happen to the pros that did a terrible job in the previous season. There's going to be relegation. It's like the English Premier League in soccer. If your team sucks, they bump you down the league until you prove yourself again, and then you can get back in. They broke down the world into regional structures for players tours, which are the new pro tours, but hey, it's still called a PT. There's going to be the mythic invitationals are staying. There's no more mythic championships, but the invitationals are staying, but those are arena only. There's three of those. There's going to still be the world championship every year. There's going to be double the number of qualification slots, the Grand Prix, the SCG tour. There's going to be a new, Latin American series, I believe, that offers qualifications to the PT, which they didn't do before. And there's going to be $10 million in prize support for next season. I mean, it's crazy. I love it. Looks great.
It is. It's kind of exciting. For once, and I am just going to say this now. I mean, I am one of the biggest critics sometimes of when Wizards goes off the rails. And believe me when I tell you, there's that fear. It's kind of like when you go see a Star Wars movie now. You know, after getting beaten down with Jar Jar Binks, there's a part of you. Yeah. There's a part of you that's like, oh crap, we're in trouble. No matter how good this sounds, I've been here before and you make great things sound awesome. And then it doesn't work. So you give us Hayden Christensen. But, I mean, this... on paper, right now, here's what it is. I mean, if you guys want to see this, I could definitely put the link up in the... I'll put the link up on the screen.
Yes, put the link up and, you know, set aside like 20 minutes or so to read this because it's a lot.
Because it's really kind of good. But here's the thing, and that's just it. They did it. Like, they went nuts. And they put up a very, very large... form letter basically that says what's going to happen, how things are going to go.
You know what? Something just clicked into my head. You know what happened? Wizards listened to the player base. All the crying and screaming that we've been doing, all the hand wringing we've been doing for the last year, they actually were sitting back and saying, taking notes, going, okay, they don't like this. Okay, this is something they don't like. They kind of like this. Okay, let's fix this. Okay, let's do this. Boom. I think they nailed it. Kudos, Wizards.
I do. I think they did really, really well. And then, but there is that fear, and your wife says hello. There is that fear that they're going to find some way to screw this up.
On the other hand, a two, this is also Wizards, and yeah, so they may very likely find some way to screw this up, but I mean, I have to have some cautious optimism with this because they normally don't release any details at all, and this one, the only thing they didn't say basically was when and where.
Right, and that's just it. And that's the one thing I was trying to say when I was trying to do all this technical stuff. I wish we had an engineer. is that they went through a lot of detail in this site. And again, I scrolled it at the bottom. If you want to find it, we'll put it in the show notes of the podcast. They went through a great amount of detail. They get very granular with how this is going to work. Basically, you know, the TLDR at the top is basically... the Magic Pro League has a clear path to pro with the addition of a new Rivals League. So first of all, they actually break it down to arena and cards, paper. And, you know, they talk about arena first because I think that's still their end goal is arena. Arena's their bread and butter, they think. So, they have created a rival league. It's going to be anchored by Spectacular. I said Spectacular.
Damn it. They did. They said Spectacular.
It's going to be anchored by Mythic Invitationals with 3 per season, offering a $750,000 prize pool.
Which I think so probably of that.
$250,000 per Mythic place, Invitation. Yeah. Yep.
No, I think each of those has $750,000. So that's.
Oh.
Yeah. That's $2.25 million for those 3 tournaments.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So.
I think first prize in each of those is $250,000.
And that's amazing. So,
in
regards to tabletop magic, paper magic, they're going backwards a little bit. Thank God, because I think this was a big misstep. We're getting the RPTQs basically back. Is how I read this.
Without the PPTQ though,
right? It's basically you're going to get a regionalized championship structure called the Players Tour, with more than 2.5 million in prizes. Which is funny because that's exactly the same amount of prize pool. In fact, it's more because they said more. Same amount of prize pool, isn't it?
It's they have the breakdown farther down in the article,
right?
Because they've broken the world into regions. There's like the North America region. There's like a Europe region and Asia region, something like that.
Yes.
And the North American one, I think, gets the lion's share of it because it's players are in the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah. So. They talk about that. They say that the Players Tour and the Mythic Invitationals are going to offer twice as many qualifications, which is big. People do want to play this, and I think they do want to expand the. It sounds to me like they're starting to realize that they do have to expand the pros. If they want this game to go long term, you need to have a way for the cream to shine.
Yeah.
So they're going to have twice as many qualification slots to players around the world, vastly increasing play opportunities no matter which platform you prefer. What I really love is the next line, where they said, in addition to the Grand Prix, Premier Series events like the SCG Tour by Star City Games and the new LATAM Magic Series by Bazaar de Bagda will offer qualification paths to the Players Tour. Yeah. And we look forward to integrating more local tournament series from around the world.
So huge. What that basically means is back in the day, before this whole new MPL thing came around, you could be a random person... Go to a GP. If you spike the GP and win that GP, or I think even top 8, you qualified for that next Pro Tour. So it was like a Grand Prix used to be like a gigantic PTQ, only with a huge cash prize. They're bringing that aspect of it back, along
Thank
with some
God.
Other things.
Well, I think they had to. I mean, that's just it. I think they're realizing this whole thing reads like a big mea culpa on their part. Mm-hmm. I think they got ahead of themselves with Arena. They got really excited by the success that it was having in beta. I don't think they... Well, I know they didn't. I remember when the beta went live. Okay, now, first of all, I was in the closed beta for a while. You know that. Mm-hmm. But when they went to the public beta, there were problems because everybody was downloading it and everybody was playing it.
Yep. I mean, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's a great problem. I don't think it's one they expected. And then all of a sudden, they started seeing revenue come in from this beta product. And they're like, hey, let's build a thing around it. And then basically I have a feeling they called like Joey Michelson, from the you know, Overwatch League and said, how does your Overwatch League work? Joey Michelson is 12 years old and goes to Oshkosh Wisconsin's, you know, elementary school and just said, no, you just offer cash prizes and make the winner get money. You know, and they're like, great, thank you. Hang up the phone. That's what they did.
Although, you know what? I think with their exuberance.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily blame them.
No, not I don't either. And I'm not being negative.
Yeah.
It's just, I think what they did is when they went through that, you know, and then they saw the reaction. They basically saw all these people going, what the hell is going on here? I was platinum, and now I'm not anything.
Yeah, on the outside looking.
And all of a sudden, you know, you just took the top 32 guys, and I was ranked higher than this guy. Mm-hmm. Like, there was all sorts of, so how do I get in? And they're like, well, we'll tell you sometime. And it's like, huh?
Yeah.
So this whole thing, like the Rivals League, this is huge.
I love this, by the way. I think this is one of my favorite things.
Okay. I mean, on one hand, I feel bad for guys who, like, you know, get into the MPL and, you know, hey, I've got a job playing Magic. And then next year, shit, I'm in the Rivals League. Great. You know.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the Rivals League. Let's talk about how that works.
So they're defining how they get into the Pro League and creating the Rivals League as a stepping stone to the top. So what the Rivals League is if you're a baseball follower, it's basically a farm team. Yeah. They're using this as a stomping ground and as also a place to train.
And if you're, like I said, if you're someone who follows soccer, if we have anybody that's listening in Europe, it's a relegation. So if you're not one of the premier leagues, you get relegated to a lower league. This is basically what that is.
Right. It like I said, it's the same thing that happens in baseball with the farm teams, you know,
the minors.
Pawtucket Red Sox. Yeah. You basically are in the minors. You're not getting paid.
As much.
As much.
You still get something.
Right. And if you win, you get paid.
Yeah.
But basically, the Rival League is going to consist of, I hate that they call it the Rivals League. It's like, just call it the Rival League. What the hell? It's going to consist of 46 players, which I also like. I like that it's more. The first through 12th ranked digital players not in the NPL.
Right.
That's big.
So that's the 12 best players in Arena who aren't already in the NPL.
And then the first through 12th ranked tabletop players that are not in the NPL.
Yep.
Again, love that.
Yep, so that's 24 people who aren't just there streaming just because. Sorry, Sivis.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah, the bottom 12 players from the Gauntlet, which we'll go through what the Gauntlet is. The bottom 4 players from the previous MPL season.
Well, hey, you know, somebody's got to come in last place.
Yeah, and then there's six, which they had to do in this age of inclusion. I'm for this. 6 discretionary invites, which you know are going to be used for inclusionary purposes.
There'll be streamers and stuff, but you know what? First of all, it's only 6. And second, I think it'll be a chance for some people who actually really have a big following to maybe get a chance to get into the MPL. Like, I don't know, Newmont?
Well, it's not just that. Here's the thing. I also think that it will do streamers, but I also believe in inclusion. Like, I think there should be more. And the problem I think we all had with Autumn getting in at first and then Jess and all of this was it came out of nowhere. They never said that they were going to do something like that. And it came at us from left field. All right. And everybody was like, well, come on, man. We've got number 13. We got Louis, you know, LSV sitting here and he's not in.
Right.
And you're bringing in these people because of inclusionary. Now, the fact that they're sitting there saying we have discretionary invites for just this reason and there's 6 of them, I'm all about it. Mm-hmm. I'm all about that.
Yeah, and they can do whatever they want with those 6.
I think that's wonderful. Right. I think that is wonderful. You know, because I do think that there is a need to have LGBTQ and girls. Like, you know, I think girls should be allowed. You know, I'm a big fan of ladies. I think they should be in. No, I'm just kidding. But I think women should be allowed in.
I just hope they don't include solely based on that. You know, there should
I don't
be...
think they would. I mean,
no, and I don't think they have because Autumn won a Mythic Championship.
Jess Estefan has
Jess
always
won,
been
Jess won
in
a Grand
the
Prix, and she's done pretty well. And I know that Autumn has definitely done very well with their appearances in the MPL this season. I think they're doing pretty well as far as the standings go. There's no like official standings that they have, but I think they've done pretty well. And I mean, it's always hard when you see discretionary slots, but I'm glad there's only six. This gives a lot of other people a chance to get in, and I think that's a really good thing because really people who play a lot should be the ones that get the first crack at it. So, you know,
I don't disagree on that at all.
No. And so. What's going to end up happening is that when they, you know, you're going to have those 46 players during the course of the season, they're going to get invites to, you know, players tour events. There's going to be mythic qualifiers just for the Rivals League. They get up to $20,000 in appearance fees in addition to whatever they win at tournaments. So, you know, it's not a full-time gig, but $20,000 is not a bad chunk of change if you do well. And then what they do, because they made the Challenger League, which is the Rivals League, they are going to... I think they're shrinking the MPL. I don't think it was 24 originally, was it? It was 32 originally.
It was 32. They're making it 24.
They're shrinking it down to 24. So I don't believe there's any more streamer contracts on that because a lot of the MPL pros were like, I don't really like to stream. So they're cutting that aspect, I believe. And the... Each of the MPL players are going to earn $50,000 in up to $50,000 in appearance fees in addition to their prizes at tournaments. And then the MPL players are also going to be invited to the Mythic Invitationals, and they're also invited to all the Tabletop Player Tour events. So you're on the gravy train at this point. You got your auto invites, you know you're going, you get your appearance fees. Most of the time, just going to a Mythic Championship or a Players Tour gets you X amount of money just for showing up, you know, as for even coming in last place. You get like, you know, $1,000 or whatever. So
yeah, and that's, you know, and that's good. I mean, what they don't talk about in here is the travel thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be very interested to see, and maybe they're not addressing it on purpose. I hope they're going to fix that.
They're fixing it in some respect. I don't remember exactly what it was. There was a thread on Reddit about this, and a WotC staff mentioned something about travel being something that they're trying to fix as well. I don't know if it's universal or if it only applies to certain things.
I imagine it would only apply to the MPL and the Pro League or the Rivals League.
Possibly.
Would seem to be my guess.
Or they might only provide travel to like or like partial travel to some of the winners or something. I don't know. But I think they're doing something. I don't remember exactly what it was. I do remember seeing it. I have to find it again, but I do remember them saying something about travel vouchers.
Good. Cuz I think that's important. You know, I mean, yeah, okay, I won $3,000, and now I'm stuck, you know, or I won $500, I came in last place, I had the worst day ever in my life, and I just spent $3,000 to be here. Mm-hmm. Like, that, and this is my job. Like, if you're a paid Magic player, you should be paid to be there.
Yeah.
Because it also helps the thing. Now, what happens is basically, yes, the Pro League is going to be 24. You know, four compete to hold their spot, bottom four drop to the Rivals League. What it is that they've developed this thing, this basically this championship, this tournament, and it's called the MPL Gauntlet. And what it is basically at the end of each season, and the season's what, like 2 months, 3 months?
Well, it depends. They're doing a shortened season for next year because they're sort of changing everything in the middle.
Right.
Their first full season will start towards the end of next year. So what'll happen is that they're going to have their partial season coming up. At the end of that partial season, the top 16 in the MPL automatically stay in the MPL for the following season. The bottom four from the MPL are going to go into the Rivals League. They get relegated. So 21st through 24th goes to the Rivals League. There's going to be
four. So they're not even getting to play in the gauntlet.
No. Four other players. The next four, I think, below that. So 17th through 20th.
No, I got it right here. So the top two ranked players from the Rivals League
will
get automatically MPL. They don't play in the gauntlet either.
Okay.
So it's the top two. You get to bypass the gauntlet. You're in the league. So you took two of the spots they opened up by, you know, the bottom four players.
Right.
And then the MPL Gauntlet Tournament will therefore comprise 16 competitors as follows. The MPL players ranked 17th through 20th.
Yes.
So the guys who were the not top, not bottom four, but the next four.
Hmm.
The Rivals players ranked 3rd through 8th on MTG Arena play, and the ones ranked 3rd through 8th on tabletop play.
Yeah, so the top two in Arena, the top two in tabletop, take the four spots that were relegated. The remaining four spots, they have to fight their way back in.
Right, and those are from the Gauntlet.
Yes, so that's the Gauntlet.
That is kind of cool. I'm kind of down with that. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. That is, you know, and that's something I would want to... And Wizards, you better fracking televise it, and it better be live. Well, don't give me the dude sitting in the studio going, you know, I want to see faces, I want cameras. Like, give us
this. Honestly, the players. I think for a 16-player tournament, I think this will be pretty big. I think it's going to be, you know, one of those bigger produced things, and because it's a big deal, because this could change people's lives.
Right.
And I like that, you know, if you don't do well in the Gauntlet, it doesn't mean you're done. It just means you get stuck in the Rivals League, which means you could be back in the MPL next year if you do really well.
Right. So, and then players who finish 5th through 16th MPL Gauntlet will be offered Rivals League contracts. All points will be reset after this tournament for the start of the new season.
Yeah.
So after that, the Rivals League should consist of the bottom 12 performers of the Gauntlet, 1st through 12th at-large arena ranked players who did not participate in the Gauntlet. So that is where, you know, you and I managed to go on a sweet run.
For like...
In arena.
6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get to go into the MPL now, or the Rivals League. The 1st through 12th at-large tabletop ranked players who did not participate in the Gauntlet. So again, this is 13 through 24.
Well, it could actually be lower than that, because if you think about it, you know, there's... The ones that they pick initially are the ones that weren't already in the MPL. There's 24 players in the MPL. Realistically, you can expect 20 of them to be the top 20 in Arena. So then those slots drop down to 21 to 32 or whatever. And then after that is where we are. So, you know, if you're like top 35 or so in Arena, or top 40, maybe even top 50, you have a shot.
You have a good shot.
Yeah, you have a pretty good shot at getting in the Rivals League. I like it. I mean, I think
I do too.
It just feels good. It feels good that Wizards is giving us information that makes sense.
So it's still a little scary.
It is a little scary because because basically last year they changed everything. This year they're changing almost everything again. But there's so much more information that we're getting this year than we had at this point last year. I feel like last year at this point we're just like, all right, MPL, how does it work, guys?
Oh.
Guys. And where'd they go? Whereas it's this year, it's like, oh, flowcharts! I like flowcharts! We could do flowcharts! So, yeah, so what happens is once the gauntlet's done, like you said, it's the bottom 12 in the gauntlet, number 1 through 12 in arena at large, who weren't already in there. Same thing for tabletop. The bottom 4 MPL players, and then those 6 discretionary slots we have talked about earlier. And then after that's done... The MPL is going to be the top 16 players from the previous season, the top 4 from the Gauntlet, and the top 2 rivals from the previous season in players' points and mythics points, which they don't talk about yet. They'll talk about those later. I'm full. It's a lot to digest.
Well, my question becomes, okay, that's wonderful. This is great. What happens if you have a Watanabe incident and you got to kick somebody out of the MPL? Does it automatic? Are they coming out of the Rivals League?
Yes.
Is it the first person? Or is it the discretionary? I mean, that's where I'm kind of lazy.
Again, this is something I think they answered in Reddit. Somebody asked, okay, what happens if somebody gets booted out? They draw from the Rivals League. I believe it's discretionary at that point. They can sort of pick whoever they want. But if you figure they're already in the Rivals League, they're just one step below the MPL anyway. So they've already basically shown that they're good enough. You know what I mean? So they're not going to pick some random Joe Schmo that hasn't already earned their stripes, so to speak.
Right. And they're not just going to take the flash in the pan guy who just won the, you know, Mythic Invitational or whatever, or a GP and did it in such a way. You know, they'll put them in the discretionary spot in the Rivals League.
Right.
And I'm good with that. I'd like that spelled out because, I mean, it does need to be said because you never know. Mm-hmm. You know, with all of that, I mean, yeah, this is a net win. There isn't any way it's not. I mean, even the stuff that they, for once, and I mean, it has been a complete lack of tabletop info for for this whole thing for the past 7 or 8 months.
People were really scared because Channel Fireball didn't even have any GP events listed for next year, and people were like, I mean, you know, we're in the middle of August. People want to start knowing what's going to be happening, and we're getting, you know, like we just heard, we were getting crickets. Right. And this basically, you know, we don't have the schedule of tournaments yet, which we would still like to get. But this shows that, yeah, something's happening next year. It's going to be awesome. Just trust us on this one. Just hang out for a minute. And for the first time in a while, I feel like I can say, okay, Wizards, I think you got
this. I'm down.
Yeah, we'll wait. We can wait for more information. This is plenty for now. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. So tabletop, let's go over the path for that. Because a lot of us here are played tabletop, I'm assuming. You do qualify for a player's tour event by winning or placing very highly at a qualifier-level event. Now, what I like here, I like and don't like, is that they're a little bit more nebulous here. They're not saying it's just a PTQ or an MCQ. They're saying it's a player tour, well, actually a PTQ, yeah.
Yeah, PTQ.
It's not a PPTQ. But they're saying a player tour qualifier, which used to be the MCQ. And again, I love that you have separated Mythic from paper. Mythic is going to make us think of Arena, and that's exactly what you're doing. You're calling it the Mythic, the Players Tour, as opposed to the Mythic Tour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that. So, the Players Tour qualifiers, WPN qualifiers, which is Wizards...
Wizards Play Network.
Yeah, so which is basically store...
Stores.
Yeah. Grand Prix, obviously. Players Tour Premier Series and Magic Online events. Magic Online got love.
Yeah. They didn't forget about Magic Online because, you know, there's going to have to be Modern or, heck, Pauper or Legacy, maybe even Vintage.
Or Commander.
Could be Commander. They support it, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is all very, very good.
Well, and what I like, too, is that there's sort of a reemergence of the old gravy train, like I mentioned that earlier. Because they say you do well at a player's tour, you get your prizes, but you also get invites to future player's tours. So if you top 8, you're qualified for the next one.
Exactly. So, and they said, too, if after this, and they're telling us that you're getting your points back. If after this you fall short of just short of reaching Rivals levels, you don't have to start at the bottom again. Doing well at the player tour, but not well enough to qualify you for a final, can also qualify you for the next round of player tours. This is based on record, not place finish, and is similar to how players could string together invites under the old system.
They are
rolling it back. It's like they realized what they did. Now, they're renaming things because they don't want to sit there and say we screwed up,
mm-hmm.
and I get that,
yeah.
and I'm okay with it, because I'd rather you fix the problem and not worry about it, but I definitely, you know...
There's nothing wrong with the rebrand.
Not a bit. And especially if it's a course correction. And that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not putting egg on their face. They're not calling him Pro Tour. And I get that. We'll still call it Pro Tour.
Yeah, it's still a Pro Tour. I still haven't gotten used to Mythic Championship. So Pro Tour.
Yeah. And, you know, and they're saying that doing well at a player's tour final, which is like what you were just saying, depending on your final record. But it sounds like they're keeping pro points are back.
In a sense.
They're going to call them player points, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, in a sense. Points. I mean, look, if you want to really boil it down, I mean, PT. The PTs are back.
Right, and it's good. And this is really, really good. You know, because I don't think that we're ready yet to give up on paper. And I honestly do. I believe Wizards wanted to try it. They were floating that balloon of, hey... Paper might go away.
Yeah, that balloon was filled with lead.
Look what we did. We gave you Arena. Yeah, and everybody else was like, held to the no. You know, and it's good. So
yeah.
I'm down. I'm just trying to go over what other stuff we saw in here. I mean, again, folks, you got to go to that site.
Yeah.
And again, I can put it back up on the screen, I think, because I should.
Well, while you're doing that.
So if you're not watching us live right now on the internet, I will have them in the show notes for the podcast.
Yeah.
But it's worthwhile. You should go read this. It's pretty in-depth. I mean, they go even into, like, qualifiers and how and what you can expect to win and cards that you might get and blah, blah, blah. Like, going through everything. They talk about the partial season. this is a, it's almost like a, like, if I was to put it into a PDF, I think this would be a 12-page document.
It's huge. I mean, yeah, I love that there's 13 different ways to qualify for the Players Tour.
Right.
That's, I mean, it gives an option for so many people. I mean, it says everybody from the previous finals, you automatically qualify, you know, for the Players Tour. And that's going to be announced before Mythic Championship 7.
Yes.
Top finishers from the previous Players Tour qualify. All the MPL players qualify. All the Rivals players qualify. If you top 8 or have at least 39 match points at a grand, individual Grand Prix, you qualify. If you're a top 4 team or a team that has 36 match points at a team GP, you qualify. Hey, they're calling them GPs again. What the hell?
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, last chance qualifier winners held the day before Players Tour events. I love that they're bringing that back. You can qualify that way. There's the WPN qualifiers, your PTQs, Premier Series events, MTGO. If you happen to be on the Hall of Fame, sorry, Watanabe. Or discretionary invitations, you qualify. Yes,
absolutely. And something else to think about, this all leads, and they've finally said it. They've built a season two. The Super Bowl for Magic is Worlds.
Yeah.
And now they've said it, but they never really went out of their way to kind of make that, like, as big. And last year, if I remember correctly, there was no coverage, and it was pretty much text-based, and nobody... Hi, good to see you. It was pretty... awful. Like, and they were trying to do this, like, best of one, and yeah. Now they're, I get the impression Worlds is actually going to be a big thing this year. The prize pool is going to be $1 million. Yeah. It's going to feature the winners of each Pro Players Tour Finals, winner of each Mythic Invitational, and will take place near the end of the season in 2021.
They are going to have another, the one last World Championship. They're pushing this year's back from December to February.
Right, to give them some time to get some...
Give them time to get, you know, to work out some bugs or whatever, and it also gives them time so they can... I think what they're going to do is sort of do, like, half years. So, like, have one year start in July, the next one end, like, in January, February. So that way it's, you know, just an easier schedule to follow.
Right.
So I just, there's, like, reading this whole thing, there really wasn't much that I could nitpick. I mean, other than maybe just wanting a little more information, but they already gave us so much. It's like, okay.
And I do. I couldn't be happier with it. It does, it seems like a very good thing. Information is never bad. Okay. I get it. I get that sometimes they want to keep things a little quiet, because they want the option to kind of, like I said, if you read through this, the things that are unsaid is like, okay, we're bringing pro points back. Only we're probably going to call them player points. We're going to let you qualify again. We're telling you how to qualify. Regional stuff is back. You can do the play-in the day before. The whole, everything that they took away that made everybody pissed off, they have brought back. They might have renamed it, but they brought it back.
Yeah.
Okay. As long as you're doing that, I'm happy.
Yeah, this was fantastic. I mean, I'm really looking forward to the rest of the details coming out. I'm looking forward to seeing how this all plays out next year, especially. And it sort of gives me, you know, the wannabe potential, you know, dreaming beyond dream hope of making a PT one day. It sort of reignites that flame, saying, you know what, I have a better chance of doing it now than I ever have before.
But, well, because you can know, you can be able to pick the events you're going to go to that are going to be the best thing for you to be at. You're going to be able to sit there and really get involved with things that are going on around you, and you'll be able to practice better and know more about what you're doing, as opposed to going like, oh my God, do I have to go to every Mythic Invitational or Mythic Qualifier or Mythic Championship to qualify? Like, do I, you know...
And
I don't want to go to Spain. I don't want to go to Spain. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I won, but I can't afford the flight. Thanks, guys.
Exactly. So, I mean, with that, I'm definitely very, very happy. I think a lot of this is good. Again, check out that link. It'll be in the show notes. It's been on the screen a few times. I mean, is there anything else in here you want to tear apart, or should we move on?
I mean, we could spend all day on this, honestly. Read the article, guys. I mean, like I said, it's a bunch of information. They said there's more coming, but this should keep people busy for a good 20, 30 minutes to read through it and try to figure it all out. But it's good. It's all good.
Yeah, the article is titled "The Future of Magic Esports." So even if you want to go to Google it, you definitely should read this article. It is a long read, and it's not exactly It's not exactly a page turner. I gotta be honest with you. It was pretty adept. I was like,
it's like a PowerPoint presentation, honestly, just without the any sort of transition effects, which is
right. Or somebody with
But the flowcharts are pretty.
Or gravitas. Like, why don't you have BDM out there giving it to us, man? I watch that guy read the phone book. So, but with that, and I do believe we're probably gonna skip combat. Because we've got quite a bit we can still talk about. So our combat tonight was going to be basically Aramis and I were going to argue about the better Pringles chip. I personally believe sour cream and onion is better. Aramis was going to go with regular, I'm sure, because,
I love sour cream and onion. You kidding me?
Well, no combat anyway. This is good then. Yeah. So, all right, moving on. Root snare. All right. And the cat is looking at my hand. All right. So let's go ahead and...
Main phase.
All right, so main phase two. All righty. We've got some great information tonight, too. I don't know, Aramis, have you... I mean, obviously, every week we've been playing the Planescation event.
Love that.
Yeah, I'm having a good time. What'd you think of today? What'd you think of this week?
You know what? I crushed it so hard, it was over before I even knew it.
You know what? Shut the hell up. All right, I'm going to be honest with you right now. You know what? It took me a while. It took me a while to get... to get the deck I needed to play. You're sitting here going, I crushed it with Jund Dinosaur.
Well, there's something to be said about a turn two Rotting Regisaur.
I get it. And I'm not, and I don't, and I'm, you know, you're not wrong. Now, if you don't know what's going on this week, you should definitely log into Arena.
Yes.
Because basically they've made an event, which is the Dominaria, they're calling, it's for the Dominaria plane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, and this cat is killing me. It's basically say hello, bye bye. All right, I'm trying to find the list of cards that are banned.
I'm actually booting up Arena right now.
Okay, it's based in Dominaria, and what they did was basically they were trying to go through and remove the cards that annoy, basically the cards that really annoy.
Got
everybody.
The list. All right, so it's best of one standard. So Nexus of Fate's already gone. You don't go worry about that.
Right.
They also banned Benelish Marshall, History of Benalia, Curious Obsession, Brineborn Cutthroat, which I kind of found surprising, Sorin Imperius Bloodlord, Arclight Phoenix, Goblin Chain Whirler, Light Up the Stage, Rekindling Phoenix, Runaway Steamkin. They really hated red on this one. Wow.
Yeah, this went kind of crazy.
Nissa Who Shakes the World.
Experimental Frenzy's still there.
Yeah, Frenzy's still there, but everything else is dead. Nissa Who Shakes the World, Wild Growth Walker, Field of the Dead, no Scape Shift, makes me sad. Teferi, Hero of Dominaria, Teferi, Time Raveler, because, it's Teferi. You want to give people a chance. Thought Erasure, Feather with the Redeemed, Hydro
Crisis. Yay, Thought Erasure! Goodbye, Thought Erasure! We don't ever want to see you again.
And Risen Reef. So Elementals is dead, Bant Ramp is dead, Nexus is dead, Esper is dead, Mono Red's dead, Vampire's dead, Mono Blue's dead. All the metagame decks are basically not really a thing, except for Jund Dinosaurs.
No. You know what? My vampire deck did all right.
Yeah, but Sorin's a huge linchpin to that.
Yeah, Sorin was a huge linchpin.
But Jund Dinosaurs was basically intact. The only thing they had to change, like, one card out of the sideboard. You put in a couple more Shifting Ceratops. Oh, my God. I played six games. I won six games. None of them were really even that close.
Oh, wow. It took me a bit. I did start with... I started with vampires. I wanted to see how it would do without Sorin. Because I'm like, well, I still have Sanctum, and I still have the Knight of Eden.
Yeah, there's still some explosiveness there. Just the ramp that Sorin gives is just so important.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. I was really getting tanked. Tried Mono Red, and it again, I tried to replace it with some Goblins and things like that. Kept Experimental Frenzy, kept Chandra.
Right.
Tried to make it a little more of the Cavalcade of Calamity deck. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that still didn't hold. So I did try Simic Flash. Because I'm like, oh, they just took out the Brineback. I mean, come on. Nope, you need that card.
Well, basically, the way most of my games went, it was turn one Llanowar Elf, right? Okay, right. Whatever. Turn two, Marauding Raptor.
Mm-hmm.
Turn three, Regisaur Alpha.
Yeah.
And it was either like a turn four double Ripjaw Raptor or turn four Galta with haste. And, the Marauding Raptor is getting additional plus two or plus four, depending on other dinosaurs that are in there. I mean, I was killing people on turn three or turn four.
Right. Well, what I had happen, which was really good, what I decided to do was, because of the I had this, the quests I had were a lot of blue and red. And I didn't like running Phoenix, and they took Phoenix out. Yeah. Thousand Year Storm. I made a storm deck.
Oh, yeah.
I had a freaking blast with that.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. You couldn't ramp it up. I mean, it took six turns. But I get Thousand Year Storm out, and no, because again, no Teferi.
Mm-hmm.
No real explosive power other than dinosaurs. If I was playing a dinosaur deck, I actually still kind of held because I had enough removal and you know, things of that nature. But yeah, that was fun for me. I was like, okay, this is a different deck.
Well, we should try that out before the event goes away.
No, hell no.
Yes.
First of all, you can't play that event against each other.
Yes, you can. It's best of one standard.
Oh, okay. But yeah, it's not like the rules aren't there. How do I know you're not putting in a cheat, man?
I don't need a cheat. You got turn 2 Rotting Regisaur. Turn 2 Rotten Reggie.
Well, in any event, I mean, that was really, really kind of great.
And for those of you who aren't really familiar with the event, what they do is it's a free event to play. Your first win gets you 1,000 XP, and you get every win, you get a special basic land. This week's special lands were from Mirage way back in 96.
Yep.
And if you got to 6 wins, you got the Unhinged Island, I believe it was this week. So they've been doing an Unhinged land every week, and those are the old full art lands from one of the silver bordered sets they did back in, 10 years ago or so?
Well, Unhinged was recent, wasn't it?
Unstable was the most recent
one. Oh, that's right.
This is the one before that.
And I mean, people are talking about it. They want the Zendikar, you know, off of it. They really just want the full land card. Hmm. Take the frame off of it. And I don't disagree. You should. You know, if you're going to have that really beautiful artwork that's designed not to have a frame, take the damn frame off.
Yeah.
You know, and I had a good time. I faced a lot of mono red. I saw quite a few mono reds. Yes.
I'm actually surprised you saw any, because I think that deck got neutered.
Demir was pretty
Demir, I mean, they lose Thought Erasure, but that's about it.
Yeah, they were doing there was a lot of Demir, and again, I handled most of it. Occasionally I'd hit a wall. If they were constantly casting down and Carnarium and all of it, I'm like, well, what the hell am I going to do? Sure. And that's what's great about this event is that because it's free and because I didn't play or pay to play and it doesn't cost me to lose, you know what? If I'm having a bad turn, you know, game by turn 4 or 5, sweep. I'm just going
to
play another one.
Yeah, just scoop it up and go on to the next one, yeah.
You know, and then I do what I always done. Now that I got my lands, I do occasionally, I'll log in, I'll queue up a game, and then I'll auto-concede. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to give people the wins because what the hell? Why not?
And it's a short event, so, you know, maybe somebody's really pressed for time and they're just trying to get their 6 wins before the event goes away, and you're like, you know what? Here's one for you. I got my land.
I'm just putting money in my karma bank at this point.
Yeah,
so,
nothing wrong with that.
You know, with that, though, I mean, we might play our decks here after this. We might roll up Arena real quick and go on Twitch and... we'll see what time we get done here, because you know I'm married now, so I got a girl, and you know she likes me for some reason. I still haven't figured this out.
Yeah, I don't know. I gotta talk to her about that one.
Yeah, I know shit. So, but let's go ahead and let's pivot, because we're talking about deck construction, and I want to follow up. Jamie actually wrote us back last week. As you remember, he wrote us back last week in an Ask Aramis section and was asking about mono red control deck. And Aramis's answer was basically, send me a deck list. So Jamie sent us a deck list because Aramis is not exactly the smartest person we know.
Wow.
But, so why don't you tell us about this deck? You've played it. You said you actually put it together.
I did. I put it together. I was really curious to see how it worked, because it's hard to give advice on a deck if you don't know what it looks like and how it plays. And I can see the appeal. When the deck works, it's actually quite sick, because you're sitting there basically... If you're playing a creature-heavy deck, this deck will wreck your day, because there's so much removal that... A creature's not going to survive for very long. I mean, Cerulean Drake, you auto-lose to Cerulean Drake because it's got protection from red. But most other creatures, you're going to be able to kill it because it's got It's got Chandra's Triumph. It's got Fry, I think, in the sideboard. It's missing something.
I kind of saw that too.
I can't quite put my finger on what it is, but it's definitely missing something. It feels a little slow in a way. I don't know. I don't know if it needs like an alternate win condition of some kind. Cause I don't think. Let me bring up the deck list. I'm not going to spoil it for Jamie. If he didn't want the list to be public, I'm not going to sit there and go over every card in the deck. I will say that there's no creatures in the main, and I feel like it needs maybe a creature in the main. I don't know if it would be some kind of a dragon or
I think
maybe a steamkin.
No, you know what he needs is, I think with all of that hitting and all that damage, you should have the Spitfire. It's flying.
Maybe, almost all of that is strictly creature damage. I actually did swap out a couple of his direct damage spells for lightning strikes because I felt like it needed a little more reach.
Right.
But almost all of those damage spells only hit creatures, so it wouldn't trigger the flame spitter, you said?
Yeah. The Chandra Spitfire.
Spitfire, yeah. It wouldn't trigger the Spitfire.
How do you mean it wouldn't trigger? Oh, yeah, because he's not... He does. No, it would... Any non-combat damage gives it a +3/+0.
I guess we have to talk about the cards in the deck. Lava Coil, Chandra's Triumph, Jaya's Greeting.
He's not hitting. He's not hitting them to the face.
None of that hits players. Only Shock and Chandra's Pyrohelix to a certain extent does that, along with maybe Risk Factor if they decide to take the hit, or the one skewer the critics, or Chandra herself with her emblem.
Yeah, you're right. You're not wrong. So I mean, yeah, you should maybe. Well, he has shocks too.
Yeah, but I mean,
he has four shocks.
You're probably using those on early drops or mana dorks.
Right. Yeah, I would definitely some creature. I mean, I know you want to play a control deck. There's a reason you don't have a win con other than Chandra Fire Artisan.
Well, the Awakened Inferno is a win con.
Yeah,
but it's a slower one.
It's a very slow one, and in this meta,
I can see what he's trying to do. He's trying to abuse Chandra's Regulator.
Yeah.
And try to get double activations out of all of his Planeswalkers. And that actually did help me a couple of times win some games. But it was when I was using Lightning Strike to recur it back with the Acolyte of Flame, I think it was. Yeah, the one... Yeah, or no, it was the Fire Artisan, the one that lets you get back... Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm still learning this deck.
Artisan is the one that...
The Acolyte of Flame is the one that lets you get sorceries back.
Right.
So that's the one that I was using, but I was using it on like Lightning Strikes and stuff to win me some games. It only needs like one creature, and I feel like maybe like even like a Demanding Dragon. It's a 5/5 for
actually,
five.
Actually, with this much 1, 2, and 3 drop, even an Arc Light, it's possible you're going to have three.
You could, yeah. I mean, if you're going with the typical control shell, usually your one finisher is something that's big and evasive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it's... Arclight could work. I mean, Rekindling Phoenix could probably work. Because that's a threat that's hard to deal with. You want something...
What do you think of the 7-drop dragon there? What's
like
his name?
Dracoseth?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, he's bad. Like when I say bad, I mean he bad. Like
he's a bad... He's
ow.
A bamf.
Ow. Yeah, if he... You untap with him, you've got a fun day.
But that would really change the way the deck works because you'd need to add some ramp, so you'd probably also need to add some maybe some Steamkins.
Right. I guess the Steamkins would be something I would add. I still would consider one or two of the Spitfire just for...
Maybe.
Yeah.
But like maybe, I said, I could
What
I could
about
definitely...
if he put out a Cavalcade?
No, because, I mean, that
not
Cavalcade's good in a bunch. You need a bunch of creatures to really make that effective.
Yeah, and he doesn't have any one drops.
I said, I can definitely see the potential in the deck.
Yeah.
It is definitely missing something. I think it's either a finisher or a better sweeper. I mean, because 6-drop Chandra is a good sweeper. Flame Sweep is a good sweeper. Hey, it's in the name. But against...
Cannonade would be helpful.
Well, I mean, Cannonade is Flame Sweep. It's the same thing.
Right.
But bigger creatures it has a problem with. Like, if you have to start using 2 or 3 removal spells to kill something, you fall behind pretty quickly. Because the one thing that makes black and white based control strategies work better is they're just flat destroy this thing, just kill it.
Right.
Whereas with red, they have to build up enough damage to do it, and red shtick isn't really the whole I'm just going to make you dead. It's I'm going to punch you in the face, and if you're not dead, I'm going to punch you again.
And it's not going to do well against life game. Like if they're able to, like, you might want to put a tipple in the sideboard.
Yeah.
Because you're going to need to shut down life game.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, I mean, after a while, you get to turn 5 or 6, you've got Chandra's Inferno out there. You may have an Artisan, but if they're gaining life every turn, you know, they're not going to care, and they're going to swing at your Chandra Artisan sure as anything.
Mm-hmm.
If they can recoup the loss of life by putting that when it's still at 4 or 5,
yeah,
they will. And then that's a win con for you that you've lost.
Yeah, and I think the other problem is that unless he branches out into another color, he's really not going to have access to too many good finishers unless, like no. I said, it's some big dragon. And that's why I'm thinking maybe Demanding Dragon might be good, because if it comes in, it could be a 5-damage burn spell, which will kill it like a Shifting Ceratops or something else. And even if there is no creature in play, it's 5 to the dome, and you have a 5-5 flyer ready to go.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I mean, I would say this, Jamie, don't get discouraged. Keep brewing with this. I do think it needs some changes. I'm not sure exactly what it is, though. It's hard to say. But I can definitely see what he's trying to do.
And this may be, Jamie, I mean, at this point, don't forget, we're coming into rotation.
Yep.
Okay? This deck survives rotation pretty well, which I think is what you originally were putting in. You wanted something that's going to survive the rotation. You've got a very good base here. It does need one or two, which Demanding Dragon's not going to survive rotation.
No, it won't, unfortunately.
You might just need to, like, keep this list in Arena or wherever you're keeping your deck lists and wait for the new set to come out in October and watch, you know, watch spoilers and all that. And you'll probably find the piece, because don't forget, okay, Mono Red has been a thing. Now, I've been playing Magic. I mean, granted, I took about 12 years off, but I've been playing since, you know, it came out in the 90s. Aramis has been playing almost as long. There's always Mono Red.
Yeah.
There's always a burn. There's always a deck, and it always hangs because Wizard likes it, because it is a very vague, it's a very big part of their meta. So I guarantee you, Throne of Eldraine is going to have something to replace the wizard mechanic that we're losing in Mono Red. All right, now, are they going to find something to replace Chain Whirler? Dear God, I hope not. But believe me when I tell you, because they're losing Wizard's Lightning, because they're losing Gitu Lava Runner, because we're losing all those wizard cards, there will be another mechanic put into Mono Red somehow. Some other, I shouldn't say mechanic, it's probably going to be something similar to a tribal that's going to do crazy, nutty things. Now, some people think it's going to be goblins because they've been building to it. I think with Throne of Eldraine, they're going to find something new.
Mm-hmm.
So don't lose hope. I would say keep this on the side. I would, you know, play it in jank, you know, find some janky cards to put into it just for fun. And then come this fall, come October,
you'll have a head start on the rest of the meta.
Yeah, and you could probably build something that's actually really worthwhile. I mean, Shock and Lava Coil are the best removal in red by far. I like those better than Lightning Strike. I am a huge fan and have said from the beginning that Chandra's Regulator is going to change red. Chandra's Regulator with Experimental Frenzy, which you don't have in here, is a great card to get you through your deck. You know, that 1-2 punch is huge. So, I mean, just, you know, I'm not a big fan of Risk Factor. You know, actually, I was playing today at lunch, and one of the guys, Curtis, was playing one of the red decks I built, like, from the Challenger decks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got Experimental Frenzy out. He cast Risk Factor.
Go ahead,
No. You can go ahead and draw those 4 cards. Go for it. Go to town. Absolutely. Have fun. He's like, okay, I'm drawing. Oh. Like, yeah.
Well, to piggyback a little bit, he actually did, Jamie did have a question at the end of the deck list.
Okay, I missed it.
Yeah, he said, how difficult is it to track what the tier decks are in standard? It seems like a new set seems to shake up the metagame to the point where to the best decks no longer viable, and the tier 3 or 4 decks suddenly become tier 1. Why is this possible, and why is it happening so frequently? Does this discourage people from investing in standard? Now,
yes, the answer to your last question is why most people say I hate playing Standard.
Yeah, rotation. Yes. Rotation is one of the biggest drawbacks to Standard, but it's also one of the things that makes Standard so good is that it never, well, end of a rotation cycle notwithstanding, it's never really stale for that long because a new set's always coming on the horizon to shake things up. And it seems like, especially for the last couple of years, that a deck doesn't really stay on top for too long because people are so good at adapting. And I think that has a lot to do with the way that information is conveyed these days. There's so much information out there now that it's just, it's like, oh, well, here's my deck, here's how it plays, and then 15 other people go, oh, yeah, that deck, I've already done this, that beats that.
Well, I mean, it is. And so I think it's by design, Jamie. First of all, how difficult is it to track what the tier decks are at Standard? It's not.
Super
back
easy.
Back in the day, and Aramis will tell you, Inquest was the only way to do it, really.
MTG Dojo.
For a long time until you freaking internet people. But I'm talking back in the day. I had to go out and buy Wizard because, you know, I like comics. And then I had to buy Inquest because I like playing Magic. And Inquest was a magazine. I think it had a price guide, if I'm not mistaken.
It did. I loved Inquest.
Yeah, and it had articles, and it showed you the decks that won at various Pro Tour-type events. Now, there's, first of all, I mean, there's, and again, hashtag not sponsored, TCG Player is where you go to buy cards, really, if you're going to buy them not from an LGS. You should buy from an LGS.
Yeah. But well, I mean, there's TCG Player, there's Card Kingdom, there's Shadow Fireball, there's Star City.
And here's the thing. Those are fed from the LGSs, so that's why I don't feel bad buying from TCG Player. It makes me feel like it's virtualizing the LGS a bit.
Yeah.
It's not like TCG Player has a warehouse with stuff in it. I think they have some, but I think for the most part, you know, they try to get you to go to the LGS.
You can also go to KerwinsGameStore.com.
Yep, Kerwin's Game Store is a beautiful thing. Still hashtag not sponsored, but someday I'm going to talk to Steve about that. No, but what you could do is, if you're just looking for information, not really looking to buy, MTG Goldfish. That's where I go. They have an area in there called Decks, and then they break it down by format. There's Standard, Modern, Legacy, Vintage, Commander, One-on-One, Commander 4v4, Commander Your Mama Jumped Off a Bridge, Pauper, every Brawl's going to be back in there, everything that you can think of. You know, and I recommend if you're around on a Saturday afternoon, all right, get a Twitch account, first of all, and fire up Twitch and see if anybody's playing live. If it's SCG, they're great to watch. If it's, you know, if there's a big Mythic event, Magic will put it out there themselves. But for the most part, it's SCG.
Occasionally, Channel Fireball does a couple a year.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could take a look at it, and they do have Standard events, mainly the Standards covered by SCG.
Yeah.
And those, you know, they go through. It's really funny. You can kind of watch it. Autumn Burchette, they won Mythic Championship 1, I think, or something.
One or two, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And they won it with Mono Blue. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, everybody's playing Mono Blue. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, well, you know, if I burn them with mono red, it does a little better. So everybody starts playing mono red. And then all of a sudden people are like, well, yeah, but my Esper Control deck can stop mono red. And then everybody's playing Esper Control. And it's a consistent and constant rotationary thing. Back in about a year and a half ago, before rotation with Dominaria, was it Dominaria that triggered last year? No.
Ravnica triggered it.
Ravnica, yeah. Before the Ravnica trigger, oh, dude. It was mono red Hazoret or mono red black Hazoret.
Yeah, Scrap Heap Scrounger.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And that was the meta. And that's what won consistently. And it ne'er the two should meet. And before that, it was energy. And then they had to nerf energy with a ban. So it, you know, I for one dig the way the meta is right now. I dig the fact that it rotates every time, that every week. Week to week is the best deck is going. Scapeshift was at number one in MTG Goldfish for 2 weeks. Guess what is now? Vampires.
Well, think about
guess
this.
What won't be next week?
Vampires. Well, think about this. Since guilds rotated in, we've had mid range black green blue. What the hell is the name for that color?
Sultai.
Sultai mid range. Mono blue. Esper Control, Mono Red, Nexus Esper of Tempo. Fate. You know, yeah, Mono Tempo, Nexus of Fate, Simic Flash, Bant Ramp, Scapeshift, Vampires. All these different decks at one point or another have had the top slot. You go to Modern, Hogak.
It's just Hogak.
Hogak.
And we don't discuss Modern too much, but if you're playing Modern and you're playing Hogak, you best prepare for a banning.
They did an article where they said you can get turn two Hogak 60% of the time.
Yeah, so I think Hogak's going to go away now.
Yeah, bye-bye.
So we do have some, we have a tweet as well. Steve did write us back, but he didn't really ask a question. It was more like thanking us for, you know, answering his question and told us that he's been, and this is another site you can check out. Tolarian Community College is a lot of fun.
Yes.
You know, Steve, keep listening to us, please, man. Write us some questions. We'd really love to get your feedback and stuff. And, you know, with the feedback and all that, we really encourage you guys to write us. We love it. Jamie, thank you again. But I think we're about 5 minutes over already, so we might as well.
End step.
All right, we're going to start picking up our cards, putting them in the boxes, getting ourselves ready to go, putting on our coats, because soon it'll be winter. And
stop that.
Yeah, I know, right? I should be shot. But we're going to get ourselves ready to go. But here's the thing. Before we come back next week, both Aramis and I, Aramis actually did stream this week. We do stream Arena on the Planeswalker podcast channel on Twitch. You can look us up at Planeswalkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch, which does feed that channel, at Mindcrime73.
And I did, like he said, I did stream last week. The audio was bad. I apologize
for
that.
The audio was really rough.
The audio was bad, but I fixed that, I think. So my next stream should be better. So if you'd want to follow me on Twitch, I'm at RMACWRX. I'm hoping to get back into somewhat of a regular schedule, maybe once a week or so. So if you want to follow me there, I also feed the Planeswalker Podcast channel when I stream, so you can find us there too. But if Twitter is more your speed, you can also find our show at PlanestalkerPod, and that's on Twitter.
Yep, and my personal Twitter is at WRBenson. I really don't tweet that much, but it is there. And, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just look up Planeswalkers Podcast and like and follow our page. And then, hey, you can show up on Monday nights at 7:30 or 8 o'clock when we record.
Yeah, you can see us live and see how we fly off the rails.
You can check out these lovely faces. I mean, my face is definitely made for an audio podcast.
Yep, my face could stop a clock. Finally, you could send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, like Jamie did, thank you, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction, Jamie, thank you, to limited choices.
Jeez, nobody asked me limited questions.
Sorry. Jeez. Anywhere. Email address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. I'm going to go cry now.
You'll be all right.
I won't.
But we want to thank you guys for listening tonight. Please leave us some iTunes reviews. Even if you don't want to write a review, put in some 5-star, 4-star. It does help get the show out there. Share us with your friends. Put some in on Google, wherever else you listen to this podcast. For Aramis Perez, I want to say thank you guys very much for tuning in and listening to us tonight. This has been the Planeswalkers Podcast, your podcast by casuals for casuals. Me and Aramis will be back next Friday night, or next Monday night, with more information, more fun. And for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you, take care, and have a good week. And remember to always leave some of your mana untapped, because you never know when you'll need it. Take care.